Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. So what the heck is going on in Iran? Let's check in with the Mark Cox Show.
Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation back on the line with us. Good morning, Jim. What's your take on the bombers, the heavy bombers, and everything else getting involved now?
Yeah, so this is not escalation. This is not deep. This is not like Vietnam where, you know, Johnson says, well, we send in 20,000 troops. Like, oh, let's send in 20,000 more. This is what I would call de-risking, because here's the math. Every time the Iranians do this, they renege on a deal. They attack Americans. The U.S. goes in, and when they do one day of additional attacks on Iranian military and infrastructure, that adds months and years to the timeline of how long it would take Iran to rebuild, to be a country at the level of threat it was a year ago. So this is literally the thing about, you know, when you're in a hole, stop digging. And when they're in a hole and the IRGC says, where's the steam shovel?
You know, I heard somebody say yesterday that, you know, they're managing to fire some missiles at other countries. They've killed a couple of U.S. service members in doing that with drones. Where did these come from? Apparently, they were hidden in tunnels, and slowly, as things calmed down the last few weeks, they pulled them back out. And somebody said this is an opportunity for the U.S. to now go in and take out the rest of it. Is that, you think that's the strategy?
Well, you know, definitely every time one of these assets appears or does an attack or they use it, the U.S. then can target it and take it out. So it is essentially, you know, creating more vulnerabilities for the Iranians. But the other thing is, you know, the attack on the servicemen, I guess it was Jordan, was really tragic. But when you hear about the kind of the postmortem of that, the Iranians did some very, very clever things, some workarounds to get through the U.S. defenses. But the U.S. is going to figure that out. So that's a one-time deal, right? Now, they may think of something else clever to do something else. But, you know, we are 4 months into this war with the Iranians. And as one of my friends pointed out, which it's not a fun statistic. It's not something to brag about or make light of human life. But, you know, on average, we lose about 20, 30 Americans every year in military training accidents. Which is a horrible thing, right? It's an inherently dangerous business that we're in, even when people aren't shooting at you. But the U.S., this government and this Department of War and the military have done an exquisite job about protecting the lives of the men and women that we put in harm's way. But it also says something about the president. I mean, the president's always willing to say, hey, we don't have to do this. And part of that is not just, you know, I don't need to blow up Iranian bridges, you know, if I don't have to. But he also knows every time he pulls the trigger on sending American forces into harm's way, even when there is a very low likelihood that Americans will be caught, captured, wounded, or killed, it's not zero. And so he doesn't want to do that, but he's not risk averse. We can play this game all day long. You know, they say, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I mean, this is what the Iranians are doing now. And the only, I can't stress this enough. Every day they do this, they become less of a problem for us for months and years ahead.
President Donald Trump's approval ratings have tanked during the war in Iran. But say what you will, DJT is resolute. Here's the Annie Fry Show.
Administration has announced that the president has officially agreed to just signed off on a nuclear agreement with Saudi Arabia. This would allow the kingdom to build a civilian nuclear facility for energy. The catch here is that American companies will be a part of building this out, which would mean billions of dollars in profits for American companies. It has to be approved by Congress first, where undoubtedly lawmakers will raise concerns about whether this could open the door to potentially other countries countries gaining access down the road to nuclear weapons.
That's Aisha Hosni with Fox News reporting on the dealings that this president is making in these areas surrounding Iran, working with different countries that are certainly an important part of winning this war against Iran. But you have absolutely seen in the last few days, the president's attitude towards Iran has become much more fire-based. He has participated in ramping up the rhetoric around it, and of course the bombing as well. The loss of life that has occurred here from those Americans who gave their lives in the efforts to follow their commander-in-chief and to try to denuclearize Iran, the president is taking this very seriously. The question we have for our next guest is this the right move? Let's talk to Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, co-chair of American Security at America First Policy Institute, also the former assistant to the president.
Yes.
I want to just give you the floor here because I know that you've been saying the diplomacy, the discussions with Iran, it's all nice and fun and good, but it's not going to get the job done. How do you feel about the president's current position towards Iran?
Well, look, he's done the right thing in the sense of trying to attack the nuclear problem he's got under enriching uranium. He's right there. But this kind of has expanded out a little bit. And I think you need to really think of basically a different way of doing what you're doing right now and convince them to basically change. And one of the things is right now I wouldn't negotiate with them. I'd say, I'm talking to you guys. I'm just done with it. Because their foreign minister, Rachi, has written a book on negotiation. It's called The Power of Diplomacy. And he kind of knows that time is on his side. I think the president just needs to say, nope, we're not going to put a timetable on this. It's going to take forever to do this if necessary. We're just going to do it in a week, whatever it's going to take to do it. The second thing is I think this whole issue of decapitation is really good. What I mean by that is taking out their senior leadership. You should make them afraid to even go outside at any time of the day. So I think that's good. The third one, and I've said it, is taking land like Karg Island, Barak Island. And why do I say that? It's not because you want to put troops on the ground, which I think is important. But what you do is you create leverage for the president of the United States to do something by taking something they own. Now, I know there's risk to that, and you're putting troops probably in contact, but you're not invading Iran. I'm not advocating that at all. But I am advocating something like taking something strategic like Karg Island, which is 90% of their economy, and Iraq Island, which is a command and control facility. We can do that. We have the capability to do it, and probably we should at least think through that as well. The other thing we need to do, which we haven't done, is we need to think about the Iranians and how they overthrow this government internally. It's going to be their job to do something, but they're really unarmed right now. And maybe we can think about arming them or setting up a presidential finding with the agency or doing something that can basically help the Iranians out. When I was in Paris a couple of weeks ago talking to basically a national council that does some of this, you could see what they were doing kind of individually, but they're attacking targets with Molotov cocktails, but it's all disparate. It's not basically a good framework because they've not really organized to do it. And the last thing I do, I think the American people need to hear from the president, basically, here's what I'm doing. And tell them it's going to take more than a day or two to get all this done. But the end state is designed to be for our grandkids and our kids, not for this generation, but for the future. And I think if he does those type of things, I think he's going to be okay. Now, right now, you kind of talk about, well, people are against it. Well, there's about 30% that are 40% that are against it. But there's at least 30% of this nation who I'm absolutely convinced think the sun rises on the west instead of the east.
Yeah.
And that's just part of it, and you have to deal with that. And understand that and cut them off. And how you cut them off is you go to the American people and say, here's what I'm doing, here's why it's important, and explain it to them. But you're always going to have your doubters, and I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, just have to deal with it.
Speaking of tanking approval, let's check in with the Democrats. Here's Bob Rose in Gainesville, Florida.
All right. Vice President J.D. Vance responded to New Jersey Governor Mike Sherrills, the Democrat, and Mikey, I guess she goes by, admission that thousands of non-citizens were registered to vote in her state as a result of a software error. This is another reason why we need the Save America Act. We need to get it. We need to get it done in Congress. And this is just another reason for this push. Now, Cheryl announced the disturbing revelation Tuesday on X, explaining that a mistake in New Jersey's motor vehicle system led to the registration of roughly 6,600 people who indicated that they were not U.S. citizens. And this happened between June of 23 and June of 24, while former Governor Phil Murphy was in office. These individuals answered no when asked on a keypad whether they were a U.S. citizen and when applying for a driver's license and identification cards. But through no fault of their own, the system registered them anyway. According to a preliminary analysis conducted by Cheryl's administration, fewer than 400 individuals who were mistakenly registered to vote actually did cast votes. Wait a second. They answered no. They're not citizens. The machine had a hiccup and allowed them to have voter registration anyway, but they still knew, didn't they, that they weren't allowed to vote. But 400 of them decided to anyway. There's just something a little smelly beyond just, the surface of what is going on here. Now, the governor added that she immediately, quote unquote, called for an investigation into the issue, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, here's part of the problem. So Senator Andy Kim, a Democrat from New Jersey, talked about this and said, and this is the old catchphrase, what happened in New Jersey? Look, this is not, it's not a widespread systemic problem.
Oh, we hear that every time. That's what the media always say. ABC said that this morning about this story.
Yeah. Harvesting ballots, not, you know, maybe that's not a huge issue. Mail-in voting and problems related to that. Not widespread, not a problem. When you add all of the things together, you have to wonder, you go, well, maybe it does have an impact on elections.
Well, how about a crime is a crime, and just because it didn't get to a certain level because they say these 400 didn't affect an election.
Right.
Oh, so it's okay to have illegals voting until it really starts swinging elections.
And that's what I'd like to know. Like, where do you draw the line? Yeah. How many thousands of people, how close of an election does it have to be where they go, oh, well, wait, yeah, maybe it isn't good? Mm-hmm. How ridiculous. Especially when most of this can be remedied by simply producing an official photo ID and proving that you're a citizen at least one time in the registration process, and then you're all good. Why would anyone want to prevent that from being the law of the land? Only people, honestly, who want to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I've said it before, that's the bottom line on this. You can have whatever opinion you want. The fact of the matter is, it leaves no other alternative as to the reason why you would not want to have this kind of voter integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want it to have integrity. In other words, you want people to be able to cheat.
Look at you and the logic.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is crazy.
It is to the lefties. I mean, the logic part of it is crazy. Anyway, J.D. Vance has called on, like Senator Booker and others, to pass the SAVE Act. I mean, New Jersey's admitting, look, there's a problem here. The current governor didn't happen necessarily under, you know, her watch, but it did happen.
Right.
And so one of the things that you can address this is the Save America Voting Act. And then here, domestically in the homeland, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with these Democrat socialists. They have really worked their way fairly quickly into the Democrat Party, and they're not shy that they're not necessarily fans of Democrats or their policies, but they have weaseled their way in there, and they're winning primaries. And are they going to be a complete force to be reckoned with? Possibly. Possibly. I think the midterms will determine a lot, but I think you'll have some blue states. And there are some people that say, when some people are considered not radical enough and these DSA candidates come out, it is like everybody, even including like Van Jones, said, no, this is they're gone way too far to the left.
That's amazing.
It really is.
Pretty amazing.
So listen to this. Pro-Israel research group Canary Mission said Monday that a video shows several Democrat Socialists of America aligned politicians joined an online rally where a speaker lamented the neutralizing Iran would strip Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis of their funding. They're concerned that the funding is going to dry up for terrorist organizations. These are Americans. These are candidates. These are people that are part of the Democrat Socialist group. And they shared a clip on an exclusive thread on X. It came from a March fundraiser called Choose Your Fighter, okay, hosted by Progressive Victory to rally support for progressives opposed to the Iran conflict. The speaker was left-wing podcaster Kyle Kalinske. Kalinske argued that the U.S. and Israel were building a Fourth Reich before turning to Tehran's regional proxies. Quote, if Iran's off the table as a regional power, that means Hezbollah can't be funded, Hamas can't be funded, and the Houthis can't be funded. And he said this like it was a totally bad, negative thing.
Wow.
Because that's how many of these folks feel. He also claimed U.S. and Israeli officials are the terrorists, of course, okay, and compared them to Adolf Hitler and Mussolini. Mm. Now, there's always going to be a few nutbags. They're going to say the most outrageous things.
Right.
Oh, but this is much, much more than that. This really is a movement. It really does have feet. It really is, unfortunately, growing. And I got to tell you, I saw a little bit of it coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats apparently didn't see it coming at all, and they're really ill-prepared to stop this movement within their own group.
Bernie helped open this door.
Yes.
Then you get Mamdani get elected.
Yep.
And then you look at the things that the three that he's supporting who beat established Democrats, and they better be concerned. They'd better be concerned.
Some of the folks that were, you know, attending this online rally, yep, included Ro Khanna out of California. He's really, to me, starting to show more of his true lefty, mm-hmm, lefty colors. Former Representative Cori Bush, the Democrat out of Missouri. Michigan Senate candidate Abdul El Sayad. And also flagged were two DSA congressional hopefuls. I heard this Abdul El Sayad speaking, and I got to tell you, he's one of those guys who wants to abolish ICE and abolish the police and all of that. He is sounds very, very militant, and he has got quite the following in Michigan, and he could be a real contender. And this guy doesn't believe in the same American values that we do. It's not even close. Progressive Victory, you know, the group behind this online rally for lefties, Deputy Executive Director Benjamin Gilbert-Leaf told Fox News that the group stands by Kolinsky's comments, insisting they reflect the views of our community. In other words, saying things about, hey, the support for terrorists is going to dry up. That's a bad thing.
It's amazing.
You believe that?
That is amazing.
How many years since 9/11? And you want to support terrorism. Incredible.
Tara Servatius has some thoughts on Democrats these days and the warning they're having to issue to their own kind.
Rahm Emanuel, advisor, longtime advisor to Barack Obama, helped him get from Chicago to the White House, but a guy who can also do math, saying, folks, Democrat, Socialist America, not going to work for the Democrat Party.
The distraction from the Democratic Socialists, you want this to be totally about Donald Trump, his corruption in this war, and they have policies from defunding the police to decriminalizing the prison system to open borders, and we've tried that. And it's politically, electorally a failure, and the policies are wrong. They're not Democratic Party policies.
Well, they are. But once people found out about him and y'all were forced to stop lying, oh, the border's closed. No, it's totally closed. Remember Bill Malusian put that drone up in the air? So it definitely wasn't closed. They were doing a full-on voter drive, 8,000 Haitians below him. What is Rahm Emanuel doing? He's raising the alarm. This stuff pulls horribly. And in the era of X, where we no longer have the FBI inside of Twitter, inside of Facebook, threatening to put Mark Zuckerberg in prison if he won't delete True Things. We can't control the narrative, and it's killing us. We can't let it all hang out. Even Jed, I'm telling you, you can tell what the another round of internal polling just came out for Democrats. You could tell it was a bloodbath. So you got Rahm Emanuel, advisor to Obama, coming out and saying, look, we can't be out here. We can't campaign on this. This doesn't work. We can't campaign on open borders. We can't campaign on ending ICE. We can't campaign on letting criminals out and abolishing prisons, putting ICE agents in prison. We can't campaign on sending, you know, ICE, Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth to the International Criminal Court for just trying to keep America safe. It's not going to work. And you can tell this devastating, you know, round of polling came out because, again, here's James Carville.
I don't know if we're not better off. Said, okay, we'll take that alternative ID, bring your gas bill or your light bill or something. Because for whatever reason, this polls at 75%. We are not going to win the war against some kind of ID. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fix anything. But maybe you just go along with it and move to the next
thing. Shame.
Why? Because the polling's devastating. Now you've got Hakeem Jeffries. Apparently the polls are in on Democrats boycotting the fraud hearing because they came out of the closet as pro-fraud. That apparently didn't play well either.
And our promise to the American people is that we will hold the crooks accountable. If you're a crook in the United States of America and you've been stealing from the American people.
Yeah, okay, whatever. He's lying. I can't listen to him lie anymore. Why? Polling's terrible. That's why he said that. They are absolutely pro-fraud. They will let these fraudsters steal, rob you blind, as long as they are perceived to be Democrat voters. He knows that. But the polling's awful. That's why he's out there saying it. It's really bad for them. Why is James Carville saying this right now? Dean of the Democrat Party. Hey, we're going to have to accept some kind of voter ID because he saw what just happened in New Jersey. 4 days of mocking Trump. There's no voter fraud. And then guess what? Busted by Politico. Their media. There was no software glitch, Politico reported. Didn't happen. Every one of those 6,600 illegal immigrants checked the correct box. I am not a citizen. Democrats ignored it and registered them to vote anyway. And that's Politico. So my liberal trolls, you can't argue with this. You like to tell me I lie all day long. Well, okay, go take it up with Politico then. Whole thing's true. And still, all they have is their lies. Here's yesterday, again, New Jersey Governor Mickey Sherrill just lying. Well, that was a software glitch. We didn't mean to register 6,600. We fixed it. No, you didn't. You're lying. Politico busted you. There was no software glitch. Every one of those illegal immigrants checked the box. I'm not a citizen. Y'all just didn't care. And you broke the law 6,600 times when you registered every one of them to vote in federal elections.
Weren't citizens and weren't eligible to vote, but the software registered them anyway. The error in the software was corrected a year later.
There's
in
no
June
error.
Of 2024.
Take it up with Politico. All they have is their lies, folks. That's all they've got left. It's not working for them. And they have to find some other way forward because they don't have it. And now they're setting records for voter fraud. Here's John Solomon yesterday.
Last night, the New Jersey governor admitted that 6,600 illegal aliens had made it onto New Jersey's voter rolls. At least that number, it could be a lot larger. And 400 of them actually cast a vote. That is the largest number of foreigners ever to vote in any collection of an election in American history. When we told you that last night, the governor said, not our fault. It was a software glitch. No big deal. Well, overnight, we reached out to the software company that runs New Jersey's system. And you know what they said? There's no software glitch at all. The state of New Jersey knew they were putting non-citizens, i.e. foreigners, onto the voter rolls. It is the state's responsibility to determine who is eligible to vote and who's not. The software had it marked right. That is a major contradiction. And just a little while ago, the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights in the U.S. Justice Department, Harmeet Dillon, announced that there is an investigation of New Jersey now into whether they knowingly were allowing non-citizens to vote and to get on the voter rolls.
They were.
A week ago, she sent a letter out saying, if you let non-citizens vote knowingly, you're in trouble. Well, now the vendor's comments raise the very strong possibility that one of the blue states in America may have acceded to allowing non-citizens to vote.
Yeah, and this is nationwide. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. All right, coming up, I guess Darlene Graham is a politician now, so she's lying. Yeah, she wants you to believe she's pro-life like you. But the problem is she actually has a record in that department. Wow, do we even get a week before this woman's trying to deceive us? Folks, you know what? You realize her brother has who she loves very much, I'm sure. And I'm sure she does. I love my brother. She loves hers. I do believe that. Do you realize all of this has gone on? Lindsey Graham is not even in the ground yet. He's not even in the ground yet. And the machine that brought us him has already pledged $9 million to get her elected. And she's already saying not very true things.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.